The point is, I joke about racism, because racism is a fucking joke.
Savage!
Solomon.
He is Mr. Solomon.
You know something? At least he's honest.
Ladies and gentlemen.
He's a goddamn weapon.
Can you hear me in the back?
Black men.
Sincere.
I'm so sincere.
S-I-N-E-C-E-R-E. Sincere.
I mean, the problem is really with the people you cover. Politicians, the celebrities.
Nobody does it better.
Welcome everyone, this is Thought Crimes and this is your girl Sincere.
And this is your boy Prince.
I can tell you that the number one problem in Hollywood was and is and always will be pedophilia. That's the biggest problem for children in this industry.
The casting couch even applies to children.
Oh yeah. Not in the same way, it's all done under the radar.
Nobody talks about pedophilia.
It's the big secret.
And it's widespread?
Oh, yeah. I was surrounded by them when I was 14 years old. Surrounded. Literally. Didn't even know it. It wasn't until I was old enough to realize what they were and what they wanted and what they were about and the types of people that were surrounding me till I went, oh, my God, they were everywhere like vultures.
Vultures who Feldman says abused him and his best friend, the late child actor Corey Haim. His co-star in The Lost Boys.
Well, what happens if my mom is dating the head vampire?
Feldman says the trauma of that pedophilia contributed to Haim's death.
There's one person to blame in the death of Corey Haim, and that person happens to be a Hollywood mogul. And that person needs to be exposed, but unfortunately, I can't be the one to do it. But the person that knows who did it and knows who he is watching right now, I guarantee you.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Intriguing.
Yeah. There was a circle of older men that surrounded themselves around this group of kids. Hmm. And they all had either their own power or connections to great power in the entertainment industry.
Feldman won't name names. And he admits his friend had a struggle with addiction, which he says was a mechanism to cope with his demons.
It was a symptom.
It was a symptom, correct.
Are we in it?
In 2008, the two Coreys confronted each other on their reality show about the dark past they shared.
If you let me get around in my life, man, raped, so to speak, when I was about 14 and a half, and I'm saying this right now. What'd you do, man, when you saw that going down when I was 14 to me? What'd you do? You knew about it.
You want
to
talk about the truth? Okay, well, then let's talk about the truth. I was being molested at the same time by somebody else. What'd you do? You know, there's a lot of good people in this industry. But there's also a lot of really, really sick, corrupt people in this industry. And there are people in this industry who have gotten away with it for so long that they feel they're above the law.
Hmm.
And that's got to change. That's got to stop.
Elijah Wood's shocking allegations against the entertainment industry. In a new interview with the Sunday Times, the former child star alleges that pedophilia has been a real issue in Hollywood. He tells the publication, quote, "There are a lot of vipers in this industry, people who only have their own interests in mind. What bums me about these situations is that the victims can't speak as loudly as the people in power. That's the tragedy of attempting to reveal what is happening to innocent people. They can be squashed, but their lives have been irreparably damaged." The 35-year-old adds, "If you're innocent, you have very little knowledge of the world and you want to succeed. People with parasitic interests will see you as their prey."
Young girls exploited by R. Kelly like Aaliyah.
Love man, hip-hop star R. Kelly did indeed marry his protege, the 15-year-old singer Aaliyah Houghton. Kelly stated his age is 27, 2 years older than he previously claimed to be, and Aaliyah produced two pieces of ID that appeared to show her to be 18. But Aaliyah's publicists continue to insist that she's 15. The Budweiser company dropped her from its Superfest tour because it felt she was too young to be on the road, and most convincingly, the Detroit High School of the Performing Arts acknowledged that Aaliyah is in fact a 10th grade student there. Whether or not she's in legal trouble for passing off fake ID remains to be seen. We will keep you posted.
All time fame. I like comedies too.
Do you have any aspirations on becoming an actress or maybe, you know, moving into film down the road?
Yeah, I would like to.
It's Friday and I'm ready to swing. Pick up my girls and hit the party scene tonight. Oh, it's all right.
Right now, I'm producing a very talented young lady. She's 14, Aaliyah.
Or
four convicted pedophiles who were in charge of children and teenagers' careers, like the manager of NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, Lou Pearlman.
Lou Pearlman took advantage of young men and stole tremendous amounts of money. Lou wanted more from those young boys than they were willing to give. He wanted them to love him. He wanted sex with some of them, but they didn't want him. So he got even.
Band member Lance Bass went one-on-one with Deborah and told her that being NSYNC's manager wasn't enough for Pearlman.
He was the official sixth member of NSYNC.
Which meant what?
Which meant that whatever I made, he would make. And then on top of that, 20%. And then on top of that, the record label commission. He was triple dipping for sure, which as a 16-year-old, you don't understand what that even means. He made a lot off us.
The show says Pearlman stole millions from NSYNC.
We had the number one album here in America, so we were doing very well here. But we were still $1 million in debt. We'd still not made any money. We were still living off per diem, which was $35 a day.
You lived off $35 a day?
Pretty much. That happened to me when I was 16, 17 years old. You know, when we started, there was someone that, you know, we worked with that was inappropriately touching us. And I was even aware then at 16 that this guy was a pedophile and he was touching me oddly, but I didn't feel victimized at the time because I was very aware of it. But it happens to us too.
Did you say anything?
No, I mean, with the guys, we would talk about it. We would kind of joke about it, but it's not a joking thing. But as a kid, I don't know, it was odd. But I'm glad that we were aware of it and we didn't feel victimized at the time.
Of course, a host of enablers like Milo Yiannopoulos, who was himself a victim of molestation by an adult priest, are complicit as well. When he was on the Joe Rogan Show discussing parties that had underage boys, Joe Rogan, being an enabler himself, did not push for the further names of these Hollywood insiders. Maybe because he is an insider himself. But Hollywood isn't the only industry that uses power to exploit children and people sexually. There are women who lose out on employment opportunities for not having sex with an employer or for speaking out against sexual harassment. There are cases for men as well who have faced sexual harassment and who are also fired for defending women who have faced sexual harassment as well. Sexual assault can happen on any level. Migrant worker women who are raped on farms, factories, and other industries is just one example. In the realm of politics, our own presidents have behaved in the same disturbing behavior. From Thomas Jefferson raping a young girl named Sally Hemings, to Bill Clinton and his countless sexual harassment and sexual assaults, to current President Donald Trump.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And Donald Trump invited you all personally.
Yeah, uh-huh. He invited all us. He was having his pageant contest going on, and with his pageant contest, he ended up inviting us to the event.
Tell us what happened, Uncle Luke. What happened to that party that made you have to leave?
Well, I mean, it was just a lot of things going on. You know, a lot of things that I don't care to engage in. And, you know, he showed us the house, showed us the golf course in the back, all these different things. You know, said, man, great house, nice house. And I think I probably was there for every bit of maybe 45 minutes before I realized all these different things that was going on. And I was like, okay, it's time for me to go here.
Now you understand, you are Uncle Luke, you two live crew, so... I mean, we're dying to know what was going on that you couldn't engage in.
Man, it was just some things that I don't really care to discuss. Because, I mean, you know, one thing about me, I don't kiss and tell. But at the same time, the party was going on. And, you know, it was a lot of things. Put it this way, there were a lot of things going on. A lot of things. So a lot of things in a lot of different rooms. There was a lot of different rooms going on in the house. And every time you open up a door, there was something else going on that I really didn't care to be a part of. So I felt like, you know, hey, look here, man. You know, I'm from Liberty City. At the end of the day, if I wanted to be involved in all those different type of activities, I did that in my hometown. Less long as going to somebody's house where I think they got cameras and everything be able to take me in before you know it, you're extorting me. That ain't going to happen. But, you know, one thing about me, I never take no drugs and I don't get into drugs. So I leave it like that.
Were there drugs there, Uncle Luke?
It was a lot of things up in there. I know I don't take no drugs. I'm going to leave it like that.
Uh-huh. Did you see Donald Trump use any drugs?
No, I didn't see him use no drugs.
So these rooms, so presumably there were women in these rooms?
Oh, yeah, a lot of women.
Mm-hmm. How were they? How
women
were they
all over the room?
How were they dressed, Uncle Luke?
Half naked.
Half naked.
Half naked and some naked.
Half naked and some naked.
Yeah.
All right.
We had a house party. They up in there naked.
Was there any assaultive behavior toward women at this Donald Trump party?
No.
No assaultive behavior. Okay.
No, all the women were enjoying themselves like they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the thing, let me tell you, the thing is when you're around, I've been around a lot of models and a lot of these pageant women, because that's what mostly was. It was mostly pageant women.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of these women ain't of age. So when you got a whole bunch of these women running around, whether you know whether they of age or not, you know, it's a lot of things going on. You some women look too young.
Oh,
so you keep it moving.
I
you
see.
You know, so it wasn't nobody beating no women, nobody taking advantage of no women. They were all enjoying themselves. That's what they were there for. But were they old enough to be enjoying themselves? I don't know.
Was there sex?
Of course there was sex.
I guess that's a stupid question now to ask. Okay, so I think I got you now. You're saying that all this was going on and you weren't clear as to whether these were adults.
I wasn't clear whether or not they were adults, and I wasn't clear whether or not, you know, whether I wanted to be in that kind of environment where some of these other things that were going on in there. I ain't gonna too much elaborate about everything else that was going on outside of the sexual act. But
my brother, we love for you too. We love for you too. That's why we on Sirius
XM.
Because we can open it up. We on Sirius XM. We can bust it wide open right here.
The drugs and the alcohol and the sex and all that. But I ain't gonna talk about the drugs and the alcohol and the sex.
But but now you did say that if you were on XM, you could talk about it. So that's why we here, man. I mean, people. Inquiring minds want to know.
I said I could use the profanity and all that there. And talk about, you know, naked people and all that. But then the drug part, I don't want to talk about that part of it. I talk about the sex and all that. All those.
Okay, well, talk about tell us about the sex.
Yeah, it was a lot of sex going on.
Mm-hmm. Just wide out in the open.
You know what I'm saying? Like you was in just imagine the Eyes Wide Shut movie.
I need a cloak with a hood and a mask.
Okay, I think we'll find something for you.
I suppose you'd like the password.
If you'd like, sir.
Fidelia.
Thank you, sir.
I don't think you realize the danger you're in there.
You've been way out of your depth.
You've got to get away before it's too late.
Maybe it's a different one.
Better not be the publicist. No, it's her.
Yeah, that's her, with the gold. I gotta use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the I can do anything.
Look at those legs. All you can see is the legs.
No, it looks good.
Come on, shorty.
Oh, nice legs, huh?
Oof, get out of the way, honey. That's a good legs. Go ahead.
It's always good if you don't fall out of the bus. Like Ford, Gerald Ford, remember?
Down below. Pull the hell.
Both Donald Trump and Bill Clinton were close friends with Jeffrey Epstein, an extremely wealthy sex trafficker of underage girls. When Trump makes jokes about how he would have sex with his daughter if they were not genetically related, Political reported on a case that linked Donald Trump and Bill Clinton to the wealthy billionaire Jeffrey Epstein. The story, for the most part, was buried. New York, A woman who claims in a lawsuit that she was lured into a sex trafficking ring run by billionaire Jeffrey Epstein contends that the depravity began at a Florida resort now known as the Winter White House, Mar-a-Lago. Virginia Giuffre's civil suit, scheduled to go to trial here later this month, threatens to expose new details of a long-running saga tying together President Donald Trump and former President Bill Clinton, Labor Secretary Alexandra Acosta, and other prominent figures, including Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz. Epstein, a well-connected Manhattan money manager and philanthropist, was once a regular at Mar-a-Lago and an active supporter in the Clinton Foundation, repeatedly lending his 727 jet to Clinton for trips overseas. Dershowitz defended Epstein amid an investigation into his involvement with underage girls more than a decade ago, and it was Acosta, then the U.S. attorney overseeing South Florida, who allowed Epstein's case to be resolved in state court in 2008. The scandal has spawned a series of drawn-out civil suits, including Giuffre's. Giuffre, formerly Roberts, claimed she was 15 and working as a towel girl at Trump's Posh Palm Beach Club when she was recruited nearly two decades ago into sexual slavery by socialite Ghislaine Maxwell, then Epstein's girlfriend. A lawyer for Trump says that the president was unaware of any wrongdoing by Epstein. The case is scheduled for a May 15 trial, but a final pretrial conference was abruptly canceled Thursday. The development raised suspicions that some type of settlement could be in the works. In recent months, the suit attracted the attention of pro-Trump blogger Mike Cernovich, who intervened in the case in an unsuccessful push to release a large volume of blacked-out court filings. "I want to know what's really going on, and we can't get it," Cernovich told Politico. "This is a big story. My people care." Epstein pleaded guilty to two charges: solicitation of prostitution and soliciting a minor for prostitution. He served 13 months in the county jail and paid financial settlements to many of the roughly 40 women the FBI deemed to be his victims.
Because the man who has in the past categorized his business as, quote, investing in people, can now add this distinction to his portfolio: convicted pedophile. The 63-year-old allegedly has an insatiable sexual appetite for girls young enough to be his granddaughter.
Jeffrey Epstein arrested for being a pedophile.
Yes.
You say underage girls. How young are we talking about?
13, 14, 15.
At least 40 of them.
Yes. Arrested for having some kind of sexual relationship, some sort of touching, feeling, and whatever with 40 girls.
And right now we're getting into the story of basically what's going on in politics with Donald Trump having an alleged rape from a 13-year-old girl in 1994, and also Donald Trump's and Bill Clinton's connections to Epstein.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this is something you won't see on the mainstream circuit. It's just one of those things that has kind of been shushed and pushed to the side, even though they've been able to pull up everything else on anyone else. That is very interesting how the media has sidestepped this issue, and this is something that's rampant in politics.
Absolutely. It's you know, Epstein was convicted in 2008 of basically soliciting a 13-year-old girl or underage girl.
Yes, several of them, and they were just able to nail him on one.
So he only had got a year in jail, and then he was set free.
Right.
And again, this is a guy who's connected to Donald Trump and Bill Clinton, had a long relationship with them where they were allegedly also participating in that behavior.
Yeah, and it was on his private airlines with the airplane Lolita Express, and he has his own island. I believe he even calls it Sin Island or something like that.
Oh, the other one.
They have a nickname for it.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, Chris Tucker was on the flight. Bill Clinton, Naomi Campbell. Yeah, man, it's. I think these guys are able to get away with it, to be honest with you, sincere, because let's be real. We actually have a culture that's being quietly amalgamated and adapted to pedophilia, even through our mainstream entertainment that we enjoy.
Absolutely. And also the misconception that most of the crime is by the poor. there's a lot of crime that goes on with people who are wealthy. They just have the means to get away with it and hide it. But going into the entertainment part, like with the group Immature, it was disgusting how they were presented in the media. Yes. Little boys, you know, humping in the air, singing sexually charged songs, and, you know, basically being presented to us like Marky Mark in the, like when he was an underwear model. Why do you have young children presented in that way?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the Immature, I mean, listen to the name. The group's name was Immature. You know, it's a bit of a sadistic nature to put it right in your face. Unfortunately, let's just be real sincere. The general public was just too fucking stupid. They got caught up in the music. Just like right now, you know, a lot of black people, I'm talking about black, they cannot turn R. Kelly loose. We, you know, at this stage in the game, you know, we spoke about what we needed to on the cat. We're done with it. But it's just the idea of them not being able to let go of that. So if you have them at the time looking at a group like Immature, they thought there was nothing wrong with having these boys hump on the ground, and they were 10 and 12, and they were having their chest exposed, and they're singing these sexually suggestive lyrics.
Yeah, and laying in the bed together, all three of them with the boxers out, and then going back to R. Kelly one more last time before we move on. You know, R. Kelly looks like the person presented in the comment section when he said he called himself the Pied Piper. Yes. That's Revy Signing. For those who don't know, it's a mythology based off of a man who came into town. The people of the town duped him when he was supposed to get the rats out in the infestation. They never paid him. So what he did, he took the flute. And because the flute, how he played the instrument was so beautiful, that the children were drawn to it, and he led all the children out of the town. So when the adults woke up, it they weren't there. So when you look at R. Kelly, who's a musician, who's a singer, and who serenades in his songs, I don't see nothing wrong, all that serenading to young underage girls, it becomes even more sickening that he was sadistic enough to just put it in everybody's face for a long time and no one cared.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with you. Again, this is a culture, whether people want to admit it or not, you've been inundated with pedophilia. It's always been there. It's always been there. It's been in your cartoons. It's been in your music videos. It's been there. So this is why when you hear about Epstein or Clinton or even Janet Reno, okay? Janet Reno, former Attorney General Janet Reno, has accusations against her about what she did with a 7-year-old or a 13-year-old girl in a limo. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's going to be rampant in our political climate, and also it's going to be rampant in our entertainment industry. Going back to politics, though, it's been there. Thomas Jefferson, Sally Hemings.
Yeah, she was a 14-year-old girl who was raped.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's honestly, where we are right now, this is the thing I laugh about when people say some stupid shit like, the country's falling apart, look at what's going on. Motherfucker, if you go back in time, this is what the country was founded on.
Yeah, shit, we had kids in factories.
Yeah.
That's how much we didn't give a fuck about them. Go work your little ass in the factory, get your lungs, you know, shot up with dust and... It's disgusting.
Well,
it's disgusting.
Yeah, and also to add on to that, the reason why I say it's been founded, the country's been founded on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's been founded on this. This is the frequency, the energy that this fucking nation is on. Think about what they did to children of slaves who had no fucking rights.
Mm-hmm.
Just eviscerated the young males, eviscerated the females, routinely getting raped. Go get me a young nigger bitch. Go get me a young nigger. I feel like something sweet tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, what they were able to do in Hollywood, sincere, now we talk about this type of stuff all the time. They were able to do a bit of a nice campaign, update, a facial for the quote unquote slave master. See, when you think about the slave master, a lot of people, you know, think about, you know, Tom Cruise or Brad Pitt. When most of slave masters was old, fat, disgusting white men. The same motherfuckers you see in Congress is what slave masters look like today.
Absolutely. And when you see, not that it make a difference when it comes to children.
Yeah.
But look at Bambaataa. Look at the fat, white piece of shit who was raping and molesting young boys in the bands, you know, like NSYNC and... and whatever other Backstreet Boys.
He was responsible for O-Town too.
O-Town.
Yeah.
Not to say those guys were the ones he particularly touched, but he did touch underage boys. He was
fascinated with
it. So these people, you know, they're disgusting slobs who get away with this behavior, and they all should be in prison. But sadly, due to a lot of people's blind spots, especially when it comes to the entertainment industry, even more so than politics, it's allowed to fester.
Yeah, they have an incomplete documentary that's floating around on the internet called Boys Town, and they talked about in these foster homes or even some of these Boys Town hotlines spots where they were actually just breeding grounds for people, wealthy people, to come through and pick up young slaves, young sex slaves. I know when I transferred out of like a high school in 10th grade and I got transferred to, it was a school for a lot of foster children, right? But I wasn't a foster kid, but it was just where we went at the time because of what my family was going through, right? But, I mean, routinely, we would talk to, you know, other kids. They would tell us these stories about, you know, molestation, rape, you know, even experiences that I've seen firsthand. So, for me, it's sick, you know. Like, when I see niggas just kind of slack on R. Kelly, but then they get mad at a Sandusky, I'm like, you know, go kill yourself.
Yeah, go kill yourself. You know what I'm saying? Because there's no excuse for a 16-year-old girl, 15, 14, whatever, doesn't matter the age, just the same thing with young boys. It's all fucking disgusting. Yes, it is. You know, the whole culture of thinking it's cute to fuck a 16-year-old girl or she could get the dick or any of that type of language is disgusting. Mm-hmm. And we've never had standards in society that place kids in a situation of protection. Never. It's just like you said, even back in the day where Thomas Jefferson raping Sally and what takes place today with our political figures and also people in the entertainment world is
tradition.
No different.
It's tradition. And that's why it's interesting. Even when, you know, you talk to certain types of white people, they want you to look at the quote unquote founding fathers and look at them in a sense of pride like you would look at a fucking Captain America. And it's like, no, these motherfuckers were horrible.
Absolutely.
They were terrible. You know, they're your revolutionaries, but they are terrorists.
Yeah, you know, and I'd rather look at heroes who don't have that stain on them. Right. I'd rather, you know, Harriet Tubman wasn't fondling little boys or little girls.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think I'll stick with her. But going back to what we were talking about, you know, Donald Trump allegedly raped a 13-year-old girl.
Okay, yeah.
In 1994, and no one's really talking about this. You know, and then when it is talked about, Jeffrey Epstein is usually only connected to Bill Clinton, which I'm seeing so far online. It's mostly just people wanting to just talk about Bill Clinton, but it's both of these guys.
Yeah, they really want to make it about aligning themselves to their party. See, look what the Democrats do. They all meet at these secret camps. And again, it's nothing new. It's really business as usual. There's no excuse for it. But again, if you study the history of this country, a lot of shit that we're seeing now, there's nothing really new except the technology.
Absolutely. And then going back to Epstein real quick, look at his little black book.
Right.
Donald Trump was in that black book. Bill Clinton was in that black book. And remember that Bill Clinton and Donald Trump has a great relationship in history with each other. Also, Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani. But Naomi Campbell was in that book. Kevin Spacey was in that book.
Chris Tucker was on the flight.
Chris Tucker. To me, you know, there's some people who may take a photo with someone. There's certain things you may be able to excuse because everyone doesn't know everyone they take pictures with.
Exactly.
But on this level, when you're taking flights with a pedophile or even using his plane, you're questionable. I think you're more than questionable in my eyes at this point.
Yeah, you can't go off the whole thing of I didn't know. Oh, I didn't know. I mean, it's weird. It's weird. Like, for instance, let's go back like we was talking about with Immature. First of all, like I said, it's right in your face. You got little bitty boys singing and humping on the ground. I mean, this is, we just illustrate this because I don't even think the average person, especially the average Negro, they don't understand how inundated in the hypersexualization of children they've become. So it's like you look at a group like Immature, right? And when they first hit the scene, they all out with their shirt. At first, initially, people dismiss it as like, you know, when a child gets their hand on their mother or father's clothing, they're like, oh, that's cute. That's how they tried to market it at first. But then if you listen to the lyrics and just how they conducted themselves, it wasn't like some New Edition shit.
That's a great point. You know, we know that little kids have crushes on other girls in school.
Right.
So they might want to write this song, oh, Lisa, I love you, and all this stuff. We're not talking about that. We're talking about raunchy humping in the ear, your pants to your ankles. Like, come on, that shit was disgusting. And then, yes, it's perverted because you have a lot of sick people looking at that and being sexually charged with that. And that's not cool. You know, we got to make a distinction here. We're not talking about, you know, little kids making love songs to their their crush, their, you know, or a high school guy, a band or a girl group talking about people their age and having a crush. We're talking about them being presented in a disgusting manner for people to drool over, and it's just not okay.
Yeah, and initially I showed Sincere the video with Willow Smith, and the reason why I have such a very rigid standard when it comes to how children are displayed with their clothing attire is because we have pedophiles, and we have unmarked pedophiles in the community, period, in this world too, that people don't know that they have these thoughts in their head. So in the video Fireball, you know, as we discussed it, yes, the aspects of it, is it just purely hip-hop, the aesthetics, kids dancing, enjoying? Yes, but it's something very troubling in certain scenes with Willow Smith's clothing attire, the excess makeup, the way they have it. To me, like I said, I can feel when I just know something's off, and it just, to me, it came across at times as child prostitution. She's, you know, she's dancing on like, you know, like a filthy L.A. street or something. And she's trying to do her best raunchy Rihanna impersonation. You know, she's a little awkward girl. So that's nothing to take away from her. But again, this is why, like, there needs to be a real code when it comes to these children. Because I'm going to tell you something. America really doesn't give a fuck about its children. They don't care about how they're presented. They don't care about what language is used around them. They don't care about, you know,
the
education. The education. That's like so far off the table. All we need to do is build more prisons for them.
More prison, more debt. And the funny thing is when some adults get on their high horse and talk shit about this generation, well, newsflash, there's no millennials in Congress. Not one. None. Zero. Zero. All the policies everybody's bitching about are all from previous generations. And this generation is the one that has to fix all this bullshit. And then they can't even fix it because they're not even in power.
No.
They don't have the political power.
They're
in debt. They don't have none of most of the money. It's crazy.
Right.
It's crazy.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, and this is like, again, this is tying into the culture of the Clintons, the Trumps. And it's not even just them. We're just using them. Epstein, he's flying around. He's still free. He's still smiling and laughing. People still joking about R. Kelly, you know, she 19, right?
Yeah, making them corny-ass jokes.
Funny. Right. But yeah. Then people want to talk about how filthy and disgusting Sandusky was, or, you know, whoever, right? But you know, when it comes to, I think people go ahead and implement their morals or a code of morality as long as their prejudices don't get in the way. So, come on, she old enough, or I know what he did was wrong, but come on, the music. But then if it's somebody white, oh, fucking cracker ass, nasty ass cave motherfucker.
That's what Europeans do.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, I'm just being honest with you. Like, if somebody would tell me, like, if Sincere would have came to me with some evidence, and she would be like, yo, Prince was molesting little children. yo, did you see the little boy crying on TV? They got evidence. They got photos. They got bite marks. Scratch. I was like, okay, well, I'm not fucking with his music anymore.
There's no one beyond reproach us, even if it came out with Jay-Z. There's no one beyond reproach for us when they, I'm sorry. You know, now we want to make it clear, of course, that Prince is a dope, is a legend. He's clean. Nothing came out of him like that. He's a legend. He's done. He was actually giving children the tools they needed to advance in music and to keep the power in their own hands. You know, wish more adults would do that. Just like what Boyce Watkins is doing, helping the youth with financial literacy, you know, people who actually care. And also what Jay-Z is doing in the music industry as well. But going back to what we were saying, there's no one beyond reproach when it comes to this, if you know.
Yeah, you know, and even going back to Jay-Z, because I broke it down in a video a long time ago. The only reason why people are even saying fuck Jay-Z is because of the spirit of Tupac. What he said on a record, which even Jay-Z said, I never met the man. And I'm sure if we would have met, even his mother told Jay-Z, I'm sure if we would have met, there's a good chance that the beef would have been squashed. There wouldn't have been no fight. There wouldn't have been none of this craziness that people think. You know, fans want to, you know, adhere to a standard in their head. What I'm saying about Jay-Z, you know, I get tired of people, oh, Jay-Z is Illuminati, man. Why you? Motherfucker, Epstein has been convicted. You know, there's a lawsuit against Trump. Clinton has a terrible history. You know, all of these rich, fat politicians, there's evidence on them.
There's evidence with the entertainers too.
You talk about that shit. Don't point to me to a guy because he held a diamond symbol up in the video. If some shit fell out the closet on Hov, we would be saying the same shit. But what boggles my mind is that motherfuckers want to point in space. They want us talking hyperboles and vagueness. But then when you want to talk about some real shit like this and the children that are actually been affected by it, whatever.
You know, these guys like Epstein's, they take their business trips. You know, they have young girls come on those trips with them. They have these sex parties, you know, Bryan Singer. They have parties where a lot of times you have underage children. And then another thing you need to think about, let's even go back in time to the 80s, you know, when we have a young Drew Barrymore. You know, I'm glad she has a life together. She's a dope woman. But let's go back to the past. Her mother was a fuckhead, number one. So she didn't have any level of protection. Because she was a celebrity, she can go into any club. No one said anything. 14 years old. She could snort coke. No one said anything. This girl was able to do any drug that she wanted, frolic around with adults. And you think this is still isn't going on now? It is.
Yeah.
Just like they get, you know, just like what we heard about Diddy giving Tink, you know, cocaine. He tried to give her that.
Yeah.
But if you go look at it, it's a lot of the children and young adults, and even people, adults period, who they try to turn out in this industry.
Oh yeah, I mean, you can look at Diddy, what he attempted with Usher. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, trying to give strippers to a young
12-year-old Usher at the time.
A 12-year-old Usher, that's fucking nasty. It doesn't matter if it's from a man or a woman. It's disgusting.
Well, Lil Wayne talked about what happened to him. I believe he said he was either 7. No, he was 11.
Mm-hmm.
At 11, stripper sucked his dick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's right there. When that type of information has leaked out, when it's visible, you know, but niggas like to get on the, you know, I hate Jay-Z train. And nothing has been presented outside of you could say, oh, he not fucking with his homies anymore.
Some of them, not even all of them.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So we're talking about shit that has been proven. I mean, even if you go back to the fucking Young Money camp, it's too many strange shit coming out of that camp.
Baby is strange.
Baby strange. Tiger was strange. Wayne was strange. Nicki Minaj's sister. Well, no, her brother was strange.
Brother, he's a rapist.
Yeah, they had another cat in the camp. There's a lot of weird shit coming out of that camp. That's what y'all talk about. Like, talk about shit that's there, and then you can go back and even talk about these politicians. This is where the real sick shit is taking place. The politicians, there's a network. There's a worldwide network of this shit.
You already have celebrities, especially from the 80s, who've talked about this,
mm-hmm.
who said what was going on behind the scenes.
What was his name? Elijah Wood spoke about that.
Elijah Wood said there's a lot of pedophiles.
He was like, I'm going to put enough out there not to fuck up my career.
Yeah, he put it out there without going for, you know, into detail. But again, it's with his story too. You know, he had a strong mother who made sure everything was all right. Just the same thing with Tyra Banks. She had a strong mother. You know, parents, basically, period. Strong father, strong mother, who made sure that mm-hmm. she wasn't around that type of world.
Right.
It's not saying that your kid can't be an artist. But if you don't have the fortitude, or you don't think you have the stomach to keep your kid safe, they shouldn't be in that fucking type of arena at all.
Well, to add on to that, think about this, though. Todd Bridges came out and he talked about how he was molested. You know, even on the set of Different Strokes,
mm-hmm.
he said he thought it was normal for the guy to come into his trailer and do what he did to him.
Let's go even all the way back to Judy Garland.
Yeah,
she was a little girl, and they were trying to say you don't look sexy enough, you don't look approachable enough. You have to be pretty. That's why she had that eating disorder. They trying to fuck with your kids' minds, mentally, also trying to do perverted things to your kids physically. You know, the industry has had a long history, along with politics, of just being deprived and disgusting.
Well, even, how about this? Even in this situation, what people fail to realize also, there's an occultic aspect of it too, that people believe they're harvesting energy from these children too.
Mm-hmm.
So even with pedophilia, it's like it's multi-layered. You have different types of them, but a lot of them, they, for the most part, they enjoy the power over the child. So, you know, what is taking place, or, you know, what is not necessarily in the mainstream media with Donald Trump, you know, we could argue that it's not in the mainstream media for a reason.
Yeah, it is. I mean, look how the way the guy talked about his daughter.
Yeah.
You know, I would never joke like that. Oh, if she wasn't my daughter, I would have sex with her. Marry her. She's so hot.
He has such a blank face when he says it too. Like, you know, oh, he said one of the things we both have in common is, well, sex.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, oh, yeah, that's what y'all doing. That's what y'all purging motherfuckers look like y'all doing.
Well, you know, it's like you said, they're so arrogant because the public is, a lot of people are so stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the Pied Piper. Oh, yeah, but if my she was my daughter, I would fuck her. You know, it's like...
immature.
Yeah, it's like all this thing is in people's faces, and they just... either they don't care, or they don't get it, or they don't connect the dots, you know. Of course, some things can't be proven, but there's a lot of things that can be,
mm-hmm.
that have already been proven. Like with Epstein, of course, being convicted, even though he's done a lot worse. I mean, these people, they literally have places in this world where you can pay to have sex with children. Think about that. And it's not just, people always think, oh, it's third world countries. No, it's everywhere. No. It's everywhere.
No, I mean, the mothers were pawning their daughters off to R. Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
For the money.
Mm-hmm.
You can always manipulate people in poverty or people that are in a lower class. Mm-hmm. Flash some cash. You know, most people that talk a lot of shit or what they wouldn't or would do, they don't know until somebody stacks a whole stack of $100 bills in front of them.
Then we'll see how moral you are. And then also going in India, you know, you have, because the women there are seen as less in a lot of places in India.
Yeah, okay.
Some of their daughters are pawned off. You know, the father doesn't have any reason to keep them. So he's like, get rid of them, because the boys are seen as, you know, more important.
Go ahead, continue.
So that's another dynamic also that's taking place there. But the most vulnerable people are little boys and girls.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've seen on a lower level. Like, I've seen women suck guys off for a fucking whopper. People don't think it's beyond, like, you know, an R. Kelly to say, you know, for $10,000, you know, what? I mean, do you need any help with anything? I mean, after all, I do find your daughter attractive and all. Like, and people act like, you know, they live in this world of good and evil, and I'm on the right side of good. The problem with supposed good people, the reason why they always lose to psychotic motherfuckers and sociopathic motherfuckers is because the sociopath and even the psychopath, they see in a complete view of 360. Whereas the goody two shoes only sees 180.
They're one dimensional, and yeah. And then be honest with you, they're not really good.
Yeah,
they're good.
Yeah, I'm good. And that would never happen. And then when it happens, oh my God, monster. You know what I'm saying? This is
well,
what
yeah,
we're dealing
but
with.
What are you even doing about it? Well, how are you being proactive?
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. The reason why a lot of bad things happen in this world because the people who perceive themselves as good, they don't do shit.
No, they don't.
They don't do shit. And they can't even do even one thing as to just not support somebody's music.
That is pathetic.
That's just really pathetic. That's like level one.
Yeah.
Not support their shit.
Dog, I don't know about all that. I mean, shit, the nigga did say, I believe I can fly.
Yeah, and this is, like we said, it's this behavior is not in one culture, it's not with one ethnicity. Look how fucking dumb the people rioted and how they acted when in Penn State when their beloved coach who knew that Sandusky was raping little boys, look how they reacted. So, you're mad because the coach that you love and bought your school a lot of fame is gone. But you don't care about the little boys that were raped.
No,
this is a large percentage of that school was rioting. Mm-hmm. And you want to tell me that people who classify themselves as good are really good? I mean, when you look at the five steps of tyranny, is not the renegades, the people who they call them, people who call renegades, you know, what they call it? Anarchists.
Yeah, anarchists. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know. The people who want to fight the system and they think they need to break it apart to make it better. And it's not even the Hitlers of the world that make things shitty. It's the law-abiding, oh, I'm a good doer, I pay my taxes on time, I follow the law.
Order followers.
It's them.
Yeah, they...
It's them.
Yeah, you
because
know what?
They are the majority and they are the ones who can decide as a collective where we go as a society.
Absolutely. No, I agree. You know what? To be honest with y'all, you guys should check out a cat named Mark Passio, and he has a campaign against quote unquote order followers. You know, he can't stand them, he hates them. You know, but it is a problem in the community. I remember when Patrice O'Neal, dope comedian, man, like seriously underrated, but he talked about how it is easy for people just to go along. You know, even if they're fucking somebody over, like he said, if somebody's, you know, going through something and they're crying and you have that power, and let's say you're working in a company that oversees their light and the lighting in their home or their apartment. And he said, you know, you have that opportunity to say, I'm going to let the person work it out for one more day. I'll see what I can do. You just go ahead and say, I'm sorry, I got to disconnect. And the person's begging you and saying, look, my children, we're not going to have anything to eat, blah, blah, blah. You still cut them off because, you know, I'm just doing my job. I ain't got no stock in this. It's the same lingo and the mantra that a lot of German soldiers followed in at the time of the Nazi infiltration and especially the Nuremberg trials. Is I had nothing to, you know, hey, I was just following orders, man. Look, you hey, it's just my job. You know, this is my job. I'm sorry. No. And even this is how bad it is. Some people actually have leverage in their positions to make decisions right there on the spot to help somebody, and they just choose not to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We cannibalize each other.
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
Yeah.
In this society. And that's why it disgusts me to see people follow Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. It disgusts me. You know, of course, there are going to be some people that I know that more than likely it's going to be Hillary, though, that will do this. But it still disgusts me because you allow yourself to be ignorant. You know, these are two people who are pro the police state. And then to get even worse than that, we ain't even just talk about policies or foreign affairs and destabilization of the Middle East. These people are involved with sex trafficking. These people are involved with horrible, horrific things. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not even talking about hard choices of being a leader where one can say, if you had to make that decision, it's a hard choice, but we understand why you made it. We're talking about people to their very core. They're disgusting people.
Yeah, yeah. And think about the supposed, that's all the fuck the U.S., the U.N. peacekeeping campaign is. You know, you got U.N. troops there in all parts of Africa, Asia, raping minors. Just having a fucking field. They got a photo floating around where they have this young black girl over flame of fire. I mean, you know, over fire. And they're just smiling, you know. And they talked about how they were being raped by these U.N. peacekeeper troops.
In Haiti was the most successful fundraiser. I think the number one or one of the, well, of the most successful fundraisers in the United States history. They raised $500 million and none of that money went to rebuilding Haiti. Actually, all the money's gone and they didn't help no one. Yeah. And on top of that, they were raping hundreds of young girls in Haiti and also in the UN peacekeepers in Sudan, and then, like you said, other parts of the world and yeah, different countries in Africa and in Asia. And it's just so disgusting that sometimes you can't even articulate it. On one hand, we're not saying that there's people who can't do good, because the people who raised that $500 million shows that you can cultivate goodness in people and you can show them to do the right thing. But
it's the fuckers at the top.
It's the fuckers at the top. And it's also our fault for not doing research. Stop giving to the Red Cross, because the Red Cross was the ones that took away that $500 million. That people put $500 million to the Red Cross. They took that money and they shitted on it. And they did the same thing in Hurricane Katrina. They did the same thing. This is why I despise people who always talk shit about the poor, when you have people with means who do so much worse. You know, but yeah, the Red Cross, the UN peacekeepers, it's every organization you can think of.
Right. This is how rampant it is. And that's why, you know, I just leave it, for the most part, it's a shitty culture. It really is. When you, like, I'm way past the shock phase.
Absolutely.
I'm still amazed by stupidity. I am still, that shit still is, it's
that,
like,
that does amaze me too. Yeah. Not the fact that people can do great harm, but the fact that people are so stupid at times and gullible, does.
That's like watching a really wild movie. You're like, wow, that shit was excellent. You are stupid. You know what I'm saying? But look, it's a global sex trafficking industry on all different levels. There's a film you guys could check out called Harsh Times, and it starred Christian Bale.
That was a great film.
He was a soldier. It was one of my favorite films by him. But he came back and you saw he couldn't function in society. He was shot. But then he got the opportunity to take his corrupt energy elsewhere where it was quote unquote needed. Remember, he had to talk with the two gentlemen in the office. Mm-hmm. So they weren't gentlemen, they were fucking pigs. But then they talked about raping young girls in Honduras. And, you know, I know that's in your blood. I know that's what you like. They have these militia groups that are like, that's what Blackwater also got in trouble for too. Like, and people used to point at Blackwater like they were the only ones. No, that was just one subsidiary. There were different offsets. So when you really think about it, this global sex trade, I mean, even as big of fat fishes as Clinton and
Donald Trump
and the rest of them are, they're still like just a small percentage of the global structure of it. See,
it's massive.
And it's so massive. That's what I said. It's so massive. It's so over the top. It's so old. It's a grand old dragon. It's so ingrained in our culture that we've learned to accept it in our media. So this is why people, they'll embrace something and not really know why they're embracing or understand what is taking place. Like, again, using immature in some regards. You could argue B2K in some instances. You saw what happened with Chris Stokes and what he was accused of. You know, Marcus Houston runs off to be what? He became a Jehovah Witness.
Mm-hmm.
And then Raz B had lost his mind because when he came forward with that information, people were like, you know, they made fun of him.
It's like they made fun of the first guy that came out against Bambaataa years ago.
Yeah, so let's be real. And even, look, black people sometimes, look, we need to accept that in a lot of ways, we're not that fucking different than anybody else.
To be honest, we're not.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this, and I think, you know, I you know, was paying attention to the way that a lot of people were behaving to the R. Kelly and other situations. And I guess maybe, in a way, a lot of the black people who study history, in a way, we could be idiots, too. You know, the thinking that we're somehow better or we're somehow more moral or somehow we're more just, we have a bigger cause to justice just because we're one of the least guilty out of every group. Or when you're equating it to white people. But when you think about it as a whole, we're no better.
Well, and I would definitely agree with you. I would kind of look at it like this, though, to be honest with you. I wouldn't say we're the least guilty.
I was talking about the structure.
Yeah, okay, in the structure.
Yeah, yeah, the structure.
But internally, we got a lot of foul shit happening.
Exactly.
With our young black girls, our young black boys, even how in regards a lot of black women are being treated, how a lot of young black men are being treated. So there's a lot of, with us, sometimes we get on the same bullshit of air of civility. We do an air of nobility. You know, like, just because of what we went through, we're somehow much more noble than everybody else. No, we don't do that. That's just the European thing. No, it's not, motherfucker. It's the same shit as everybody else's, okay? You go in the restroom stalls, everybody's shit smells the same, all right? And you can see that clear as day. Look how we handle in our culture, man. All you gotta do is look at our fucking culture. Look how regressive our rap music has become. You know, 40 years, damn near 40 years. You can argue 20 to 30 years.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes. Yeah,
let's bring it out. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's be real about that. You got some sisters that couldn't even come forward with that. And you got some brothers, they get twisted up like a Twizzlers. They get mad. Nah, blah, 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 blah.
He fucked little girls.
Yeah.
He fucked 13, 14, 16-year-old girls. He was a pedophile, and that's one of the reasons why Malcolm X got killed by calling him out on it. The guy was disgusting, and excuse me for saying honorable, because that's what people call him, but he's a pedophile. Why are you still, you know, talking about him and acting as if he's a hero? He's disgusting.
Yeah.
But this is the thing we do. If we feel that someone has some type of value for us to be in our bubble so we can look good,
yeah,
then we try to pretend that these people aren't disgusting. And yeah. I'm sorry. I don't care what you... There's some things you can... You know, you stole something, you're a thief. Things like that, and you do good, or you change your ways. Things like that, I can forgive that. I think most people can.
Yeah,
but being a pedophile, there is no, you know, he speak the truth about racial injustice, but he had sex with little girls. No, there's none of that when it comes to pedophilia. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Malcolm X was ostracized. He was called a traitor. Farrakhan also added to flames, you know, leading up to Malcolm X's death. You know, I mean, look how we forget about that shit. I'm just being real. This is why I said, you know, black people, we delusional sometimes. We have an air of nobility. We get on white people because they pretend to be civil, but we pretend to be noble a lot of times. And we full of shit. How can you talking about, you know, the black queen and the mother goddess when for 30 years, 20 years consistently at least, she's been nothing but a bitch and a hoe. You know what I'm saying? Or even in some regards, look how we deal with each other. You know, it shouldn't be that easy for me to want to kill another black man. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of dudes, they talk shit. What I would do, this, that, and the third. But, you know, let's be real. they wouldn't lay their hands on the average white boy walking down the street because they know better. But we have an air of nobility, like, oh no, we got a real camaraderie here. We got a real brotherhood. Okay, well, nigga, hook me up with a job. Right now they kind of tripping.
Dr. Dre, $70 million he gave to that college that already had money and didn't need it.
Yeah.
It didn't need it. Yeah. And then the fact that he was a woman beater. He abused women. And this isn't the thing where some chick slapped him and tried to fight him. He was defending himself. This is just being a bully and punching somebody in the face for no good damn reason.
Yeah.
You know, and these are the type of people we support. These are the type of people who we put in power or, you know, or some of the shady shit Diddy does. But when we bring it out, you got some people saying, well, what are you going to do about it? And why are you bringing it up? He already got his millions. Well, this is the case. He got his fucking millions under y'all old asses. I wasn't old enough to give him his fortune. You know, I'm an adult now.
Yeah,
so I'm letting people around my age bracket and younger know that he's foul along with a lot of other people in the industry. So to come out here and say, well, why would you talk about it now? No, man, I'm not 40 years old. I wasn't keeping it hush hush when Diddy was at the origin of his of making his empire.
Yeah.
So don't put that on our channel. Don't put that on us. That's y'all guys' fault for dropping the fucking ball.
Oh yeah, that again, that's another shit. That's another thing, you know, the generation shit, you know, like you got a lot of old school cats, they giving bad information to these dudes, you know, how to Mac and, you know, all this dumb shit, and you look at them, it's gotten them nowhere. So this is, I mean, what we're saying here, this is the culture that's festering. Let's be real, America doesn't give a fuck about its children. It barely considers the women. It barely considers the women. And then on top of that, the culture, if men want to get down to it, the culture doesn't give a fuck about your feelings. Why? Because you're supposed to be the stoic, brooding male with no feelings. You're supposed to reach the ultimate level of what it means to be masculine. And this is why you have men, grown men, breaking down and suffering from depression. Because they're supposed to be too strong. They're supposed to be Superman. They're not supposed to have any feelings. That's what I say. It's a shitty culture. And it's an apathetic culture. And it's a plastic-ass matrix. And this is why, again, we have these little kids being trafficked here and there, and we have habitual co-signers on bullshit.
Absolutely. And I want to go back to also what you're saying about men and their feelings. You know, when people forget that our species, we're social. Even someone who considers themselves a loner, oh, I'm a loner, they have a dog or a cat. You know, that's connecting there, you know, whether you want to believe it or not, or they're heavily on social media. So that means you're still connecting to something because we're social beings. So when you try to manipulate yourself and thinking that you have to keep all your feelings and your thoughts inward, that's actually emotional, that's basically deteriorating. That's what it is, emotionally. And it makes you more regressive. You know, studies show that people who admit to themselves their feelings and what they need to display and analyze it are much more healthier and are people who can actually function in society better than those who don't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I say, I definitely agree with you. I put this shit out, I painted for the men. Look at the fucking society. Look at the bullshit standards it has you to adhere by. You know, even as a man, even if you want to wear a fucking bright ass orange shirt, you can't walk down the block without somebody calling you a faggot. You mean, why am I a faggot? I can't express myself creatively. You see what I'm saying? Even just on that level, you're limiting me. You see what I'm saying? Like, because we do hear for the most part the limited perceptions of what a woman is. Mm-hmm. But we don't even really delve into the dynamics of the limited perception of what it means to be a man. You see, because you're living in a pig-headed culture that's European male dominated, who they have a limited understanding of humanity, okay, and what it means to be human. They go around dehumanizing motherfuckers. So, you know, when you get sucked into that atmosphere and you really understand and take a look into, like, you know, what? Why am I upholding this bullshit You know, why am I, you know, pushing this sense on the woman, or why am I trying to hear as a man to some sort of fucking He-Man standard, which He-Man had a woman. You know what I'm saying? He-Man had a chick that ran with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, even if you look at the archetypes in movies, they're always alone. They're always off in the cut. They don't nothing. There's nothing representative of them. They always, again, stoic figures. I'm just saying, this is the culture that we're living in. So if we're talking about man and woman, and we're in a point where we don't even care about how man and woman thinks, yeah, you know damn well they ain't even made it to the children yet.
Yeah, let's go back in time. You know, they didn't care that kids were working in the factories,
yeah.
6, 10 years old, 13-year-olds, getting a lot of different disabilities because of that. And then, you know, even we go into Hollywood back in the day, what happened with Julie Garland, she developing an eating disorder because, you know, they were calling her all these horrific names and she had to look pretty. And she was just a little girl. So it is disgusting that what we do in society, and we don't even try to make anything better. We really don't. And then it sucks because that's why the people who do lead the charge and exposing these things, they usually get killed in the dark because nobody cares or pay attention. I mean, look at what recently happened with Hillary Clinton, who was the name of the guy who was killed?
Oh, yeah, Seth.
Yeah.
The 27-year-old. The guy that they kind of believe was behind the email leaks. And just gunned down, you know, not like right outside his home.
Nothing was stolen.
Yeah, you know, he had cash on him. He had a lot of stuff on him, so... I mean, you know, of course they'll do anything to protect the empire.
To be honest with you, until people, it's like, how can you even be a whistleblower?
Yeah,
you know, how can you be a whistleblower when most Americans don't even have your fucking back? You could get got easily because they're not even paying attention. Something else will, you know, they'll be on something else the next day. So you just sacrifice your life for the good of the public, and then they don't even back you up.
Well, see, that's why it's a perfect system. Because what happens, because there are people that think like that, like you just stated, that, mm-hmm. that want to come forward, or they feel, you know what, I have a higher calling here. I need to correct something. But they look around and they're like, never mind. I'll just keep the checks coming.
Or I just keep my family safe.
Right.
Like that, yeah.
And what that does, because the way the general public acts, it validates the apathy. So
many cowards. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real. Martin Luther King took a bullet to the head, a rifle bullet to the head. Malcolm X took several shots to the sternum, the torso, the rib cage, you know, and those were grand sacrifices. Even Marcus Garvey dying in the manner he died, and even W.E.B. Du Bois dying in the manner he died, those are great sacrifices. But we come forward now to where people will fight harder to justify R. Kelly's actions.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? I remember it was the daughter of Martin Luther King that passed away, who was very lively, well-spoken. And she said, prior to her death, she said she had been living with so much anger because she understood the sacrifice her dad made. She understood the sacrifice her family made. But when she looked around at the time at the current state of black people, she became so angry how careless they were, how superficial they were as a collective, how they just couldn't get it right. There's like that one special-ass kid in the room that can't focus. That's how black people act. That's how we fucking act. And it's not even trying to be, talking down to folks. But it's just how we fucking act. We just can't focus for shit. We just can't. At moments, we can have our concentration pulled together.
It's true. Not even just to protect our own.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and yes, you do have some light in there. We're not saying it's dismal. Because the whole point is, we're saying if people move collectively... Mm-hmm. That's a win.
That's it.
That's a win.
That's it.
You know, but when you look at it, especially black people in the past, it was more of this urgency as to togetherness. You know, these people were, you look at them, they were heroes.
They were heroes.
You know, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, these are people who are heroes. These are people, they just have this, that light that they had. You know, they chose to cultivate the goodness within them, and they pushed forward for other people. And it's a type of sacrifice and a goodness that you don't see with most people. You just don't. And you know what? And the funny thing about it, Harriet Tubman wasn't an order follower. She wasn't, I follow the law. You know, she wasn't that type of person. She was a renegade.
Right.
These are the people that Five Steps of Tyranny was talking about. These are the people that are the heroes. It's the people who were in the middle, the mainstreamers, you know, the people who said follow the law instead of trying to change the law when it went against human rights, you know, because it's human rights first. So if the Constitution goes against human rights, you got to fix it. And then when the law goes against constitutional rights, you got to fix it. But people don't look at it that way. It's like, follow the law. Jim Crow, follow the law. And it's disgusting. It's disgusting how stupid people are and how comfortable they are with tyranny.
Yeah, and I definitely agree. I agree. And even kind of, you know, just, you know, touching a little bit on the point with Martin Luther King's daughter, I remember reading that article by her, and I was like, wow, you know, I know me, I'm agitated just being in this generation. I'm really agitated, you know. And, you know, that's why, you know, Cecina and I, we laugh, we joke, because we'll occasionally read the comments, but she know how I am. I could give a fuck if somebody's talking about simp shit or talking about the colorism. Motherfucker, I would rather be somewhere sipping some wine on the beach reading a Black Panther comic book, okay? I really would, because that's the level of care sometimes I have with this situation, because the way Black people act as a collective, we act fucking retarded, and I'm just putting that shit out there. We act fucking retarded. It don't matter, we'll sidestep. So I know the anger I feel sometimes. I couldn't imagine what she went through, and if that even led up to her congenital heart failure as well, because she eventually died from a heart attack. So I couldn't imagine being Martin Luther King's daughter or one of his children and seeing how Black people just act as a collective. We're not even talking about independently, because yeah, individually there's a consciousness. Like Sincere has a consciousness about herself, I have a consciousness about myself, but as a team we have a collective conscious that we're working in one direction. So to say this is that, yeah, you are an individual, true, you have your own consciousness, you have your own thoughts, you may genuinely care about Black folks, but as a collective consciousness, as a group collective consciousness in this country, Black people are unfocused. And if you want to get into it on some real gangster shit, America's unfocused.
Yeah, it's everybody. White people are fucking retarded. Look at what's going on with Hillary and Trump. So don't think we're giving them dumbasses a golden cookie.
Oh, no pass.
The only thing, like we said before, the only thing they have is the fact that at least, you know, to a degree, they decided to form up like Voltron to take all the power, or most of it, even though they're the minority of the world. And that's why I said, you know, other groups of people are the least responsible, although still greatly responsible at the same time. So,
it's not to say, again, we you know, we kind of finalizing this here, but it is not to say that, like I stated, America's unfocused. I mean, look what's going on with the presidency. Look at this fucking election.
This is a disgusting election.
Yeah, I mean, but I will say this, and the reason why I say it's Black people that are the most unfocused out of everybody in the goddamn classroom when it comes to the classroom of America, is because at least these motherfuckers know when to focus, what time to get serious. You ever seen a kid in the classroom cut up? He's a clown, he jokes, slapping people on the ass, spitting on people's hair and shit. But when that bell rings, he sits his ass down and gets right to his work. Mm-hmm. We don't do that. The bell rings, we still out in the hallway talking and shit. That's us. I'm just being real. That's why I said it's going to go back down to community and dealing with people that are of like mind. Because, see, if you want to get on the group conscious, all that shit, trying to hold people by the... Look, if Martin Luther King's daughter was agitated on that level, listen to Malcolm X's daughter. she's sharing the same sentiments, and she just has to be a little bit more low-key because of what they've done with the Malcolm X family, even with the King family. People don't know that. After King died, they put a hit out on that entire family. Okay, and it's the same thing with what they did with Malcolm X's grandson. So what I'm saying, these are descendants of people that were pivotal in the movement of black folks at a critical time. And now they understand what had taken place. So what I'm saying right now, you know, if we looking at Trump, and if we looking at Clinton, and we just want to keep it on, oh, they the Europeans. It's everybody in America right now. But I will say this, at least everybody else knows when to sit down in their seat.
And also, you know, I liked what the National African American Gun Association, they showed in Nigeria. It was these group of women that had these rifles and guns, and they protected themselves against Boko Haram because they were trying to, you know, they are notorious for kidnapping little girls, raping them, and doing all these horrific things. But it's just sad that that's how society is.
Well, there's an impending threat, though.
But the good thing is they defended themselves, and not one girl was taken.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about it, and people don't like to hear this shit. They don't, especially us, because we some party and bullshit motherfuckers at times. Like, we just want to look fresh in our J's, and that's it, a lot of us. But we don't like the idea of the struggle. And to be honest with you, when the struggle and the threat was recognizable, it forced us to unify.
I don't know how it's not recognizable now, though, but I agree.
Well, you know, some people feel because, you know, they can go to the other side of the tracks, go to certain neighborhoods and chill and you know, fuck outside of their group. They feel they progress. They do. They feel they progress.
They are definitely misguided, but, you know, we'll see because... I'm basically done with this discussion right now. I'm being honest with you. You know, it's like we're going through our own inner turmoil of continuing doing what we're doing. You know, meeting people like Cornel West or Boyce Watkins, who definitely get energize us, and trying to do our part as well. But some days you just feel like you just want to go to another country and just, like you said, play video games, read comics, food, you know, different types of food.
Yeah,
you know, Jamaican food, Ethiopian,
hell
Mediterranean,
yeah.
Just live life
sincere.
And travel.
That's sincere. That shit sound good now.
Yeah, you know, be honest with you, Prince and I, we could just make a lot of hip-hop, you know, videos and just talk about stupid shit and get a lot of views and
gossip
and just, you know, gossip and just travel and just pretend shit doesn't exist.
Because I will say this, motherfuckers get it confused. It ain't shit to switch it up and hit that 400,000 views and 500,000 views and keep it pushing on that note.
We've done it before, yeah.
Yeah, and just talk about partying bullshit like everybody else, because in a sense, you know, we come across as whistleblowers, but we look around at the stupidity and we like, is that whistle worth blowing?
There you go. Well, let's leave it off at that.
All right, y'all. This is Prince.
And this is Sincere.
And we are out. Peace.
Metro, going up Expo. Car overheated and I can't afford a rental. 93 Lexus sitting on Crenshaw. Turning on my headphones, staring out the window. Banging that buddy shit, trouble on Central. Damn, I just can't wait till I get on. What the fuck is taking so long? I wish I had a guy by my side, so he could help me push this ride. I wish I had a light, so I can light this fire. I wish upon a star sometimes. I wish I had time, I wish I had diamond rings and all of those finer things. I wish I had you, and I wish I wasn't stuck on Crenshaw. Upon a star sometimes. I wish I had time. I wish I had diamond rings and all of those finer things. I wish I had you, and I wish I wasn't stuck on Crenshaw. I wish I was in control. Really wish I wasn't stuck on Crenshaw. I still got so far to go.
You're tuned into the Digital Soapbox Network.